Welcome back, everybody, to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 27, and so excited to have our first returning guest. All right, so with all this coronavirus stuff going around, all the craziness and everything else, I wanted to bring back my wife, who actually is part of one of the most downloaded podcasts up to this point, so obviously you all love her, and just talk a little bit about what we're doing. Obviously, we have four kids, and this whole isolation thing is going on. So wanted to bring her on. Let's talk a little bit about it. I'm excited for you to hear it. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, welcome back, everybody. We have a special guest today, the first woman who's ever been on the Primal King Podcast, and then also the first person who's ever been on two times. So this is all due to popular demand. One of the most downloaded. I mean, come on. I've had like people who've won Super Bowls and who actually multiple Super Bowls. I've had people, one guy who caught the last pass of Peyton Manning in the NFL. People with hundreds of thousands of followers on social media. And out of all of those, like one of the most downloaded episodes is you.
It's me.
It's you. My wife. So here we have Jess back. Jessica Wilson, my wife. So the reason why I wanted to have Jess on this week is because we're right in the middle of this coronavirus scare, this craziness. The world is basically melting down. But here's the funny part. So if you've been following along with the Primal King Podcast the entire time, you probably know kind of the progression of this. Now, one of the funniest thing, I don't know, I guess I'm not sure if it's funny. But one of the crazy things is I remember a couple of years ago, we were sitting in our living room in our old house before we moved. And I remember telling her, like, it just feels like something crazy is going to happen. And if and when that happens, I would love to, like, be in the middle of nowhere. Because it just seems like our country's been so volatile and there's just a lot of craziness going around. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it was, I think it was more of a, not an I want. It was like, we need to be there. Like, yeah. If things happen, this is where we're going. Just an FYI.
did you think I was a weirdo when I was telling you that? Be honest.
Oh, probably. Because like I said before, you have all these crazy ideas and thoughts. But at the same time, like, I mean, I think we've talked about before, like, we've seen it coming. I mean, like, it's as crazy as it seems, it's not that crazy, I guess.
It's really not. Because, again, like, I never try to get into politics or any of that, and I don't even think that this really crosses into the bounds of politics, but really when you think about it, like, our country is split on everything. I mean, even right now, there's a virus going around, and, I mean, unless you're just wearing the tinfoil hat and you don't believe that any of the numbers coming out are real, there's a virus going around and it's killing people, and it's freaking people out. Now, we can all debate whether or not it is warranted, as far as the panic versus like what's going on with it. But the truth is that there is a virus going around and it is killing people and it is infecting a lot of people. And because of that, there's a lot of craziness going on. But kind of the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I feel like we are well equipped to be able to deal with whatever comes. And so one of the questions I'd have for all of you, and I know that I have people that listen to podcasts in urban areas. I know that I have people that listen to podcasts in rural areas. But let's say this thing takes, I don't know, let's say it takes 3 months. Because I think no matter what, like for 14 days, if everybody got quarantined to their house for 14 days, you'd probably want to strangle your kids by the end of it. You might be, you know, throwing stuff at your wife or your husband. But I think we could all deal with it. But if it lasts, let's say 3 months, what do you think most people could deal with it?
I don't know. That's a long time. Because I think people, there's kind of the little bit, and I think we've experienced somewhat too, where there's a little bit of the, like, challenge. Like, all right, like, let's do this. Like, I'm going to, you know, rock this quarantine situation. But I mean, for sure, if it was that long, like, things would get crazy. But I also feel like, and we've talked about this a ton, and I won't jump ahead and where you're going with all of it, but like, there's so many things that we have, or we've even just talked about even before all of this has come up, of just kind of like, you know, the what if, like, what if this happens, or different things that have gone on, where like, as crazy as it would be, and maybe like scary in a sense, like, we've got a lot of things in our area or things that we have here in the ranch, like, we're pretty set. But I think there's a ton of people who would completely lose it and not have anything. Cause I mean, there's so many of the world that like literally they go out to eat every single day, or, you know, they have a couple days groceries versus a pantry stocked. So it'd get it crazy for sure.
Yeah. And so I written a post, was that today? I think today. And it was all about how do we use this opportunity to grow? Because again, like, I know a lot of you have been following the Primal King podcast for a while, and I'm always talking about, like, I'm always hitting home trying to find the reasons, or not necessarily the reasons, I guess, but more trying to find the opportunities for growth. You know, like going back to the first three episodes and, you know, my dad dying and all of that, and kind of what came from that, and just kind of trying to make, you know, lemonade out of lemons, or however you want to put it, right? And so when I look at this, because this whole preparedness thing, it's real. And I think that as a country, we've gotten fat and happy. And we know that if we want pizza, we can just go down and get pizza. If we want Chinese food, we can go down and get it. Like, if we want whatever. And so when we moved back to the ranch, this was, okay, so to back up a little bit, like, I grew up here. But I then moved away from here. And it's crazy how much, between the time that I was 18 to the time that I was, when we moved back, I think I was 36, 35, 36. Like, that's half of my life I wasn't here. And so you get acclimated to the drive up coffee. You get acclimated to the, you know, going and grabbing the take and bake pizza, or the, you know, delivered pizza and all of that stuff. So when we came back, it was a culture shock for me, even though, like, I actually grew up here. And so when it comes to the whole preparedness thing, there's kind of multiple facets to it. But having said that, kind of getting back to the reason why I did the post today is because I felt like this is a chance for us to have almost like a reset button, right? Like, if your internet router isn't working right, you go and you unplug it, you wait 30 seconds, you plug it back in, and voila, like, the whole thing works beautifully. And I feel like literally we've gotten a chance to do like a reset. Like, what do you think? Is that crazy? Am I talking like crazy talk, or what do you think?
No, I think, I mean, that's definitely something that I've thought of, is that, like, on so many different levels, not only are we as a society, I'd say, so busy. I mean, even here, like, rural, like, we still have kids involved in different sports and 4-H and a community play that's going on. And, you know, there's lots going on. So not only from the busyness are we obviously being grounded in that, like, you have to stay home and just, you know, be with your family. And if you are home, I mean, my daughter is already like, well, can I have so-and-so over? Can I have so-and-so over? And it's like, no, the whole reason we're home is we're not supposed to be hanging out with everybody. And, you know, so, I mean, we're kind of having to get back to that home base. But then we've also talked a lot about that, you know, there's different things. I look at them as almost arts, or, you know, just kind of maybe your old fashioned, like, homesteading things. Like, I know how to can food. I know how to, you know, pressure cook things if I need to. We know how to skin and cut up an elk if we need to. Like, all the things that I feel like there's a lot of, I mean, I guarantee there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's a lot of things that I know that other people don't even know that it is an option or exists, much less how to do it.
So do you think that stuff's important?
Absolutely. But, well, from what, like, twofold. I think it's important from a, like, this is where you came from. You don't have to, like, just go get everything from the store. Like, be self-sufficient. Grow your own food. Like, how do we take care of ourselves? And I feel like it truly is, like, an art. Like, I want to be able to teach my kids how to do that. And that, is it more simplistic and easier to just go buy a can of green beans off the store shelf? Absolutely. But you don't know, like, where those green beans came from. You don't know, like, what was put in there, you know? So there's kind of, there's the art to it, where I like passing on the, I'll call it like the tradition, but like the art and the pride. Like, you guys, any lady knows the cans, when you start hearing all those dang jar lids start clinking, you're like proud on the inside. They're like, I did that. They're all sealing. And like, this is amazing. But I think it's just important. Again, like Derek and I have talked about, you know, even if it's not a situation like this, we live in a rural area where, you know, just last year there was a huge mudslide and like a whole, like our entrance, our main highway coming through here was closed for like 2 days. Or, you know, let's say there was just a power outage or a bad storm, or in a lot of areas, you know, there's hurricanes and tornadoes and just things that go on that you should always kind of have in the back of your mind, like, what am I going to do if that happens, and be able to be prepared to take care of yourself.
But we live in a time now to where most people, I mean, most people may have to deal with a natural disaster. You know, some people have to deal with a natural disaster, but even most natural disasters, it's like a week-long deal, right? And unless, like, you're decimated, and I'm not trying to, you know, minimize the effects of hurricanes and stuff when people lose everything. Obviously, that's awful. But so often, and the reason why I think that this whole coronavirus thing or COVID-19, whatever the heck it's called, is so different is because I don't feel like we've had an event that's impacted our entire country like this probably since World War II, maybe Vietnam. I don't know. I wasn't alive at that point, but even Vietnam was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of kind of, you know, political stuff going on and disagreement and stuff. But, you know, World War II, it seemed like, you know, if you look at history, everybody kind of rallied behind a common cause to defeat, you know, Nazis and everything else, right? But even like 9/11, we all kind of rallied around, but I know us living in Idaho, I didn't really feel the effects of 9/11. I was only 18, 19 years old at the time. But yeah, like school was canceled and stuff like that. But we didn't really feel the effects, right? Like there was fear and there was some problems going on, and you could read about it, you know, in the newspapers back then, right? Because the internet wasn't all that popular, you know, see it on the news or whatever. But it wasn't like it really impacted us. It had our attention, but it didn't really impact us. But now, this is something that is impacting basically everybody. I think in Idaho, we have like 15 cases. Mm-hmm. But even still with the 15 cases, the biggest city in Idaho, which is Boise, is completely locked down. Like no bars, no restaurants. You know, I just saw Kansas had locked down school for the rest of the year. You know, all these other cities in lockdown and National Guard getting deployed. And who knows, even by the time this podcast comes out, it could even be worse than that, or, you know, more intrusive than that. So it's literally impacting all of us. And so I always try to look at, like, what can we figure out from this, right? Like, what good can come from this? I don't, like, what are your thoughts? Like, what do you, like, if you were to say the top three things that could come from this that were amazing, what would they be for you? You go first and then I'll tell you.
Okay. I would say the very first one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of people are, and it happens similar to like 9/11, but a lot of people are like running back to like the church. Like it's a safe place people feel. I think they're becoming more spiritual in whatever realm that is. And I think in my beliefs, that's a good thing. I think two is just bringing that family unit back together. Like I said, it's not just, okay, yeah, it's a home day, but you have friends over, this, you know, child at a friend's house, or, well, we're all here together, let's, you know, have a barbecue so we're not just here by ourselves. Like, you're having to kind of do some basic things, and as well as not go anywhere in the sense of, you know, my son today was like, well, can we go up to a town about an hour from here and go to like that jungle gym play place? And I'm like, no, like the whole, again, the purpose is we have to stay like home and away from people. So I think the family unit is huge. And in kind of addition to that, for my third, what I'd say is not just like reconnecting as a family, but the whole piece of like, I guess what you're doing as a family, but just that slowing down. Like I know even today, like today was amazing. Like we were outside all afternoon. I never had a moment of like, oh, well, what time is it? I got to go pick up this kid. Or then we got to be at play practice at this time. Or, you know, we got to get dinner done because we also have, you know, spelling lists and this and that. And like, there was never that kind of urgency. It was just like, whatever we want to do. Like we ain't going nowhere and nobody's coming over and no real schedule. And you know, when the shade hits the canyon, like that's when we'll go inside. So it was just kind of like very, peaceful. And I feel like I truly believe that when all this is done and, you know, our normal will never be the same, but I think that when we get back to what we call normal kids hopefully going to school, you know, just those type of activities. I truly think that there's going to be a lot of people that kind of realize that maybe they don't have to do it all, or maybe they'd rather just stay home. You know, even kids, maybe they don't want to go to gymnastics every night and they like just staying home and playing board games, or, you know, watching a movie or playing outside or whatever it might be. I think that's definitely going to happen as well.
So here's what I think is going to happen. I truly feel like this is going to force a lot of people to reconsider everything. And again, I had mentioned about the post that I made, and this was kind of the gist of it, but the post that I made was all about so many of us, and I've been there, and I did it for years. And so if you're doing this right now and you're listening to it, I'm not blaming you. I'm not looking down on you for doing it. I've been there. But I've been the person who wakes up, spends an hour in a commute, works for 9 to 10 hours, spends another hour commute, and gets home in time for dinner, kiss your kids on the forehead goodnight, and then go to sleep and do it all over again. And so typically I feel like what happens, because I was doing that schedule and I talked a little bit about this in one of the previous podcasts, very, very little bit about it. But I remember there was a job I was doing, working a ton of hours. I didn't feel good about it and I just quit. Like I just was like, nope, not doing it. Actually, my grandma died and I just didn't go back. And it was weird how it happened. And again, like maybe I'll get even more into that story on another podcast. But I remember it was almost like this, I don't even know how you would say it. It's almost like an addiction, right? Like you almost get addicted to going and to the commute, and you get addicted to the working, and you get addicted to like these dopamine hits of making the money and,
you know, go.
Yeah, like the go and just being able to status, right? Like all this stuff. But then what happens is, and it's so much like social media, because I'm as guilty of it as anybody. Like I spend a ton of time on social media, it seems like, anymore. And it's one of the things that I'm going to start cutting back. But the funny thing is like, if you go into the mountains for a few days, it's like initially your first thought is like, oh, I wonder what's going on Facebook. I wonder what's going on Instagram. But then after a couple of days, you come out after having been away from social media, and you just have like zero desire to even look on social media, because it truly is like an addiction. And it was the same way with work, is that I feel like what's going to happen is that if everybody's forced to stay home, and if people are actually forced to not work, it's different if you're working from home, because you still kind of have that addiction, I guess, at that point. And I don't even know if addiction is the right word for sure, but it's almost like that routine or whatever. But then as soon as that breaks, you take a step back and you start like, huh, I don't know about all that. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to happen a lot. I think there's probably going to be massive layoffs because of the economic hit that's going to happen. I mean, the economic hit of this and kind of some of the secondary consequences of the coronavirus are probably, you know, going to end up being worse than maybe the illness, in my opinion. I mean, it's hard to say that because I know that people are going to die from it. So I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like the economic side of this is going to be tremendous, it looks like. So I feel like even people, though, who haven't lost their job, I wonder how many of those people are going to have 3 weeks at home, a month at home, 2 months at home, however long this thing lasts. And after like the first 3 weeks of kind of that re-entry point to where you're just like, oh my gosh, like I got to get to work. I should be in a car right now. I should be in my office right now. I should be working right now. And then all of a sudden, once that kind of goes away, that almost like, again, like that addiction, people are going to be forced to step back and reevaluate and be like, you know what, do I really want to do that? Because again, like I can speak from my experience, like the first, I don't know, couple of weeks when I had quit that job, because it was so intense, like as far as the work and the hours and the commute and all of this stuff, it was so immersive that when I first quit it, it was just like, I couldn't relax. But then after like a couple of weeks, you start thinking like, how in the hell did I ever do that? How did I ever get in my car every morning at 6 a.m. to get to work by 7 to, you know, work all day, get home at 8 o'clock at night? You know, like I just sat there looking, and even now more so, I look back and I'm like, I don't even know how I did it. But in the time, again, like you're so immersed in it. So I feel like number one, people who are kind of in that hamster wheel that just kind of seems to go around. And yes, people may complain about it, but again, until you remove them from that, they never really have the ability to reflect on it. So I'm curious to see how many people have a couple of weeks, they look at it and they're like, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm not going to go back. You know, I'm going to start doing something else. So I feel like that's going to be one huge thing that happens from this. I feel like a lot of people are going to get laid off or fired or whatever because of the downturn in business. But I also feel like there's going to be a lot of people who choose not to go back to work because they realize what they're doing isn't fulfilling them. Second thing that I feel like is going to happen is that people are actually going to be forced to reconnect with their kids. Now, with the internet still being there and Netflix still being there and tablets and iPhones and everything else still being there, at least at the time of this, hopefully that doesn't change, right? Like, you can still, your kids can still just basically be shooed away by giving them a tablet or something like that. But again, like, I feel like it's going to be one of those things, well, if we're home, we might as well do something together, right? We might as well play a board game together. And so I really, really hope that it will give people the chance to reconnect with their spouse, reconnect with their kids, and reconnect with their purpose, right? Like, I think that that's going to be the second thing. And then the third thing that I hope happens is that people understand that we are so fortunate to live how we've been able to live, that we've taken a lot of things for granted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've taken for granted, again, kind of the pizza thing, right? We've taken for granted the ability to just kind of come and go as we please. You know, there's certain cities now, it's like you're stuck in your apartment, right? Like, I mean, we're stuck here on 2,700 acres, right? Like, poor us. But, like, there's literally people who are stuck in little tiny apartments, and they can't go outside. They can't, you know, they can't get fresh air. They can't. I mean, I couldn't even imagine it. And so hopefully, like, it just allows us all to step back and be grateful for everything that we do have and the, you know, the freedom, I guess, and the mobility that we have as Americans. You know, we can hop in our car and drive basically anywhere we want. We can go buy an airplane ticket and go basically anywhere we want. Like, I hope, because I feel like we've gotten spoiled. I feel like we've gotten fat and happy. And I feel like, you know, we've just kind of taken for granted a lot of the sacrifices that have been made to get us here. And so kind of the third thing, I guess, is that I hope that we reevaluate how fortunate and how blessed we are to be able to have the freedoms, the opportunities, and everything else that we have. But I also feel like, and I want to get your thoughts on this, it's easy for the person who has a heart attack to start eating really clean, right? It's really easy to treat your spouse like gold if you think she's about ready to leave you. It's really easy. You know what I mean? Like, when you have that kind of that pattern interrupt, right? When everyday life is disrupted, again, your wife tells you she's leaving and you're like, oh man, I've got to change and I've got to treat her better or else she's going to leave. But then how is it 6 months from then? Again, like the guy who has a heart attack or the lady who has the gastric bypass surgery or whatever, right? Like, you come out and you're like, I'm going to eat so healthy now. Like, I dodged a bullet there. But then a year later, it's back to, you know, Doritos and cheeseburgers because it's kind of human nature. And so, like, my fear is that we're going to have this amazing coming together and we're going to have all of these amazing kind of awakening, enlightening moments. But then a year from now, we're going to be back to fighting each other on Facebook over stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts? Do you think this can withstand? Do you think that all of the, because I think that there's going to be so much good that comes from this initially, but do you think it can hold up?
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. I think our world's obviously, I mean, it goes without saying, like, it's changing. Like, it's never going to be the same, because I think that being how this is affecting every single person, you know, in all walks of life, all ages, no matter what, you've at least heard about it. Again, like you said earlier, unless you're like living in a rock and have no clue. I think now there's always going to be that little bit of a remember when, you know, like somebody either posted or you said something about it today where, you know, it's like everybody remembers, you know, or like we talk about like our grandparents who are in maybe the Depression era, and it's like, yeah, they're always keeping their Tupperware. You know, are we going to be the generation that has like 5 things of toilet paper, you know, because for whatever reason, that's like the crazy thing to have. Or, you know, just like we're going to be now, like our kids are going to be like, oh, do you remember when we had to, you know, stay at home for X amount of days or X amount of months or whatever it ends up being, you know, like this is going to be something that everybody talks about for a long time. So I feel like that's always going to be a little bit of the fear, or what if it happens again? So I'm sure some things will maybe change. Like, I also foresee people being just a much more prepared nation of just, you know, like, do you have things on hand that you'd be okay if something happened? Kind of like I mentioned. But, you know, I don't know if it'll withstand. I think that, unfortunately, people, it's really hard to not keep up with the Joneses and join all the this's and that's's and clubs this and, you know, be involved with everything. And, you know, saying no is a really powerful thing, and kind of learning what things do you want to be involved in. I foresee families kind of, because they're joining together more and hopefully changing how they've felt about their time together and so forth, that, you know, maybe there's some decisions there. Like, what do we want to be involved in? I mean, are we going to be as a family involved in whatever, you know, maybe school activities? Maybe we're going to be really involved in community. Maybe we're not going to do, you know, play, but we're going to be, you know, like theater, but we're going to do, you know, sports all together. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, is there things that I hope that continues? I can foresee, you know, myself being somebody who's kind of those crazy people that try to plan everything out, which doesn't always go great for me, but, you know, trying to do like, no, like that's something, you know, we try to even now sometimes create almost like the traditions, like, okay, you know, Thursday nights are movie nights, and, you know, definitely that gets busy and we don't do it all the time, but like our kids know, like, it's Thursday, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, so maybe there's some things like that that people continue and hopefully hang on to. Maybe.
Why toilet paper?
I don't know. I am so confused about toilet paper. We had plenty. Like, I buy a big old thing in Costco toilet paper. Started getting low, so I ordered some more. We still have plenty. Like,
I
don't understand.
I don't get it, guys.
And what's like, funny is I've almost kind of even, like, half been aware of, like, okay, you know, how fast do we go through toilet paper? There's six of us in our house. Like, help, you know, is it something like, did I need more? And it's like, no, you don't go through that much. I bought a brand new thing from Costco 2 weeks ago. Haven't even opened it yet because I had like 4 or 5 rolls left from the old package still. Like, you don't go through that much. Like, but, I don't know.
But again, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe one of you out there will tell me, because
I want to know where it started. Who was like the first person that said toilet paper is sold out? Like, yeah, where
it's like, I mean, you go into a store right now, and there's plenty of canned foods in so many of these places. There's plenty of stuff to eat, it seems like, at least here, what I've noticed. But
there's
then
no
you go,
water and toilet paper.
No water and toilet paper. And it's like, this: the coronavirus does not affect our water supply.
Well, and why would your water supply get turned off? Like, that's, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, way down the road, crazy things can happen.
Yeah,
but like,
if something crazy, I guess maybe. So I can kind of understand the water, but it's like, worst case scenario with the toilet paper is,
get your Tylenol and cold medicine, people, not toilet paper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I saw somebody who took a lawn chair, you know, like one of those plastic lawn chairs, and they cut out the middle of it, and then they put a sprinkler under it, and it was an at-home bidet. So, I mean, worst case scenario, right? Like, I run out of toilet paper, I make my little redneck at-home bidet or whatever that I saw online. But, I mean, to me, like, if the world's going to hell in a handbasket, like, the last thing I'm worried about is toilet paper.
Yeah, that
it's
is
like,
the last thing.
I'm going to go find a tree or something. I mean, not to get too graphic on y'all, but, sorry, this is a total.
We live in the country. Like, you can't say that nobody's been in a situation that you've had to hunker over a stump and do your business. Like, just be done and move on. Like, this is not that big of a deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
derailed.
We have
all
derailed.
Right, move on.
Okay, so anyways, back to the rest of the podcast. So, but here is another thing, though, that I think is important, because, and I want to get your philosophy on this, because I think we may have different philosophies on this as parents. You ready for this?
Uh-oh.
So, any of you that have kids right now, they hear this stuff. They see you watching the news. They see, you know, they hear you talking about it. Because there's kind of like two ways of approaching this whole thing, right? Because there's part of you that's like, you want to shelter your kids. You don't want them to be scared. Like our daughter, she kind of worries. Like, not kind of, she's a worrier. Really worrier. She's only 10 years old. But like, she kind of had a cough. And of course, like, it had to be coronavirus. And we're like explaining to her that she doesn't have it. And she doesn't have the rest of the symptoms and everything else. So then some of the questions start coming, though, right? Like, kids are curious. They want to know, okay, if everybody's talking about coronavirus, why is it not that bad? Or why is it so bad? Why are we not going to school? Why can't we go to our friends' houses and all of this? And see, for me, I feel like I want to be honest with my kids, not in an effort to scare them, but I want to be like brutally honest with them so they know. Whereas it seems like sometimes you kind of want to protect them and maybe not have some of those conversations and almost paint it over a little more glossy, like a little more rosy, I guess.
Oh gosh, I'd say maybe yes and no, because I also, like when you very first mentioned the question or whatever, the comment, like I definitely want to be honest. I am not a person that's like, everything's fine, don't worry about it, let's just not talk about it in front of them. Like they're 7 and 10, like they're not like our 2-year-olds that have no clue what's going on. They, you know, they hear things, they've heard things at school for a while, now they're not in school. Like, how do I just explain, oh, you're just on a longer spring break? Like, you can't say that. You have to be honest. There are some things, I guess I would say, from a, I guess I look at it a little more like age appropriate, like in the details. Do I need to be, you know, when me and Derek might be saying like, oh crap, you know, there's another 2 more cases in Idaho. I'm not announcing that to our home in the sense where like, I don't want to cause any more worry. Like they know it's here. They know everybody's staying home. You know, they know I can't just go to the grocery store every single day all the time. But at the same time, I kind of, I guess, try to protect them from maybe the details that, and honestly, I guess part of it too, is that some of the things, like, I don't even know, like they're saying things, you know, on the news or you see something on Facebook or whatever. And it's like, well, what does that really mean? Or is that legit? And so it's kind of, I guess, until I have the answers, I don't really even want to share with them. But I also, like I said, I mean, I was thinking about it earlier when you were talking about something, I don't remember, but like, you know, our kids, oh, being so spoiled right now, like our kids are used to going to the pantry and raiding anything they want. And, you know, their thought is like, oh, we're out of, you know, fruit snacks. You get some next time you're at the store. And I've kind of had to tell them, like, I can't just go to the store anytime I want. And even if I want to, well, I can go to our local store, but like, I'm not going to run up to do a big Costco run again. And even if I wanted to, like, some things we can't buy, like there's not any more XYZ, you know, whatever. And so kind of without scaring them, getting them to realize like, eat what you want, but like when this is gone, it's gone. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get more or not.
Babies have been asking for pudding for like a week.
I know. Babies want pudding.
They don't understand why there's no pudding left.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of where it is, you know, that honesty. Like, how else do you explain that to your kids without just lying, I guess, being like, oh, well, I don't have any or I can't get any. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, so I feel like our kids, like, and that's one of those things, again, where I see potentially being a true blessing coming out of this, is it is that learning to, we are all such gluttons. Like anybody, you just eat whatever you want. And like, I'll go get more ice cream tomorrow, or I'll go get more soda tomorrow. And so instead it's kind of a little bit more like, well, do I really want that? Okay. I have, you know, some of this left. What do we want even for dinner? What are we going to have, you know, for lunch? Like just spreading things out and using things and just being more aware and also not wasting things. I mean, honestly, we're horrible sometimes about leftovers. Like, oh, I don't want to eat that. Let's let it get old. Now it's kind of like, okay, well, this might be a day that we're like really wishing we had those leftovers. So how can we use this? And, you know, we took steak from last night and made it into Philly cheesesteak for tonight, you know, and just like using things and just being more resourceful. And I think that is never a bad thing for our kids to see and learn and know why we're doing that. And so anyways, there's my long answer.
Well, and I think that, you know, again, kind of coming back to the fact that we are so fat and happy, it allows us to live, you know, such a good life. It really does. Like the society that we have, and I know that a lot of people are like, oh, I wanted to go back to the old days. And it's like, do you really? You know, I'm not sure that we want to go back to the days to where we didn't have food or we didn't have proper food storage. So there is like that balance, right? And, you know, like even our daughter last night, we were driving home. And she was like, well, are we going to run out of food? And it's like, no, we're not going to run out of food. Because, you know, one of the things for us, at least, that we're blessed to have is that, you know, I mean, God forbid this thing went on for months and months and months, you know, and all supply chain shut down and like worst case scenario were to happen. It's like we've got cows, we've got, you know, wild game, we've got, you know, a garden, we've got all of these things to where we're not going to starve. But that's kind of what we had to have the conversation with her, is it's like, you know, we will have meat, we will have vegetables, we will have, you know, the necessities. Like, we're not going to starve to death. Now, are you going to be eating ice cream? No. Are you going to be having, you know, fruit snacks or puddings or all this extra stuff. Nope, sure not.
But like I said, like we told her though, like your belly will be full.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, it's that whole balance of, like I said, the glutton versus like, it's your whole need versus want. Like, do I want a big old meal with all the side trimmings and the sauce and the ranch dressing and the this and that? Absolutely. Do I need that? Like for true nutritional.
To live?
Live my body and like protein to make myself work? No.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because we were talking to your dad about it last night too, right? Because we're like, we'll have enough meat to go forever. And he's like, yeah, but will you have anything to go with it? And it's like, well, if it truly gets to that point, I'm probably not going to care if I have mashed potatoes and gravy, right? Like, I just want something to eat so I don't starve. And so that is where we have been blessed, and where maybe this is something to where we can look at and being like, you know, do we need all this extra stuff? Do we need the convenience? Like, can we be more resourceful? Are we forced now? And I don't know, like the one thing again, like it comes back to kind of like the three things we were just talking about is, does this allow us to refocus on what is so important at the end of it? Because guys, like I want everybody to be able to go out there. And if your goal, if your dream is to build a multi-million dollar business, I want you to be able to do that. If your goal is to go out there and have the nicest cars and the nicest house, I want you to go do it. But what I also am adamantly going to tell you time and time again is that if you're looking for those things to provide you with happiness and fulfillment, you will not find them there. You will not find them in those places. And so again, like maybe this thing will teach us that happiness and fulfillment is having a full belly. Maybe it's not all the extra stuff, but after that, you know, hearing your kids belly laugh because you're playing games together and you haven't done that because as soon as dinner's over, you've got to take care of that one last report before you get into work tomorrow. Or you know what I mean? Like before, you know, practice. Yeah, you're running kids from ballet over to soccer and the other one's going from football over to, you know, play practice or whatever it may be. And you never just get that time because let's face it, like when you're in that mode, when you're in the work, right, to commuting kids, right, you never relax. You never have fun with your kids, right? Because it's always stress. It's always, you're always in a hurry. You're always trying to get from A to B, and it just never allows you the time to like truly just enjoy their company. And again, like I hope that this really is an awakening. And so I don't know, like the reason why I wanted to do this podcast with us together this week is because I feel like what better week to have like my spouse on, right? Like what better week for you maybe to share a podcast like this with your spouse, or what better week for everybody out there to cherish the time that you do get at home. Right, like that. I see so many memes and so many things on Facebook about people wanting to, you know, kick their kids out of their school because now they're homeschooled, or maybe you'll treat their teachers much nicer now that you've had them home for this long, and all these different things.
Well, truly, like then one, I mean, it's hilarious and we all laugh, but truly, like how sad it is, but how honest it is. So there's all the like, you know, day three of quarantine. There's a lady on my couch. They say, she says she's my wife. She
no,
seems nice.
With no sports.
Oh, with no sports. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's all this going on. And the reality is like, it's funny because that's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sad part of it.
Yes. And it is. Like, it's so true. And so again, like, I don't know. Like, I hope that this week of the podcast, you know, I just hope that any of you out there that are listening, you'll use this opportunity to, you know, just reconnect. Like, I don't know, maybe it's a hike in the park if you're in an urban area, or it's a hike in the mountains if you're more rural, or it's
or just sitting, you know, like just be sitting. Quiet. Like, just allow yourself to be quiet. That's something that I think that I even struggle with. Like, I worked for so long with kids, and now even being home, it's still busy. Now my busy is different, but it's still so busy, that when there is those quiet moments, it's just like, wow, okay, I can actually have my own thoughts. So like, take this time to be quiet and, you know, reflect.
Yes. Yes. Reflect. And it was funny because I was actually asked to be on somebody else's podcast earlier this week. And he was asking me, he was saying, you know, I can't remember how it went. But it was something along the lines of, it came back to kind of the whole quiet time, basically, right? And you know, we hear that. We hear like, oh, you need quiet time. And it might sound kind of funny, but the truth is that right now, you know, especially up until like 5 or 6 days ago, things have never been so noisy, probably in the history of mankind, right? Like, how often do you get bored? Like seriously, like how often are you ever bored? And what I mean by bored is not bored like I'm bored so I'm going to get on Facebook, or I'm bored so I'm going to get on Instagram, or I'm bored so I'm going to play a game on my phone. Like, I'm bored, but I'm just going to sit here and like think about stuff. And I was kind of talking with him about that, because one of the things that I try to do a lot is I have an infrared sauna in my little office here. And, you know, usually anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week, I sit in a sauna. And it's awesome, obviously, like there's health benefits, I guess, to sitting in a sauna and the sweat and everything else. But so much of it comes back to the mental side of it. Because if you never have the time, if your whole day is structured around work and kids and wives, or, you know, wives or husbands or everything else, and you never actually have time to sit there and process through things, nothing ever gets resolved internally. And maybe this sounds kind of airy-fairy or woo-woo, whatever. Like, I understand that. But the truth is that if you're one of those people who are constantly going and you never actually have time to just sit there, like Jess was saying, and be quiet, you never actually have time to listen. And if you're a spiritual person, you know, to sit there and maybe listen to God or listen to the universe or listen to whoever it is that you're listening to, right? But most of the time, if you take a little bit of time to be quiet, maybe that's, you know, driving down the road with the music off and just getting lost in thought for a few minutes, or, you know, hiking around a mountain where there is no distractions and you're able to really get clear on some things, it's amazing how therapeutic it is. And so, yeah, like, absolutely, take this time to be quiet and to have quiet and to have peace and to listen and just, you know, just, I don't know. Like, I just really, really hope that something that can be as bad and as scary and panic-inducing and everything else as what is going on all around us can actually be something that just wakes us all up. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
All right. What do you got in closing?
Oh, my gosh. In closing,
might have to get a little closer or talk a little
louder. I just say the biggest thing is, oh, gosh. I'm going to say twofold. One is, don't get wrapped up into all the hype. And I say that loosely. And what I mean is, everybody's posting on social media about this. Make sure your sources are accurate and true. And, you know, you're not following the rabbit hole of somebody's sister's aunt's cousin's friend that posted something that may or may not be accurate. Like, it can derail you. So stick to that. Stick to what you know. You know, me being a spiritual person, like, pray, put your trust in God. Like, he's got this. We'll be fine. There's things I can't control this. I can control what I can control. I choose not to be fearful. I choose to be trusting and do what I can to be prepared. And that's about all I can do. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be fearful, and do what I can do in my little corner of the world here.
Well, we've pretty much been self-quarantined for like a year and a half. Right? We've been practicing social distancing way before it was cool. So yeah. So it's maybe easier for us. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast, guys. I hope you enjoyed this. My rock star wife on for round two, the COVID-19 version of the Primal King podcast and what's going on here at the ranch. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. If you haven't yet, you can go to primalking.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter. It's going to be the biggest takeaways from each episode, a little additional insight, some other cool stuff that comes along with that. So I'd encourage you. Oh, yeah. And the other thing, what about the shirts?
Oh, yeah.
We've got shirts for sale
on the Primal King website. So www.primalking.com/shop. You can not only get a Primal King shirt if you would like, we have super sweet shirts that say hashtag still not vegan.
Cover your ears if you're vegan. Yep. Okay, go ahead.
We are not vegan. We will not be vegan. We raise cattle. We like meat. So if you want a still not vegan shirt, men's and women's sizes, we have sizes is limited right now, but we literally just put in another huge order. We should be getting them anytime. So let us know if you're somebody who wants those, and we can kind of put you on the list and make sure you get them before they're even available.
They're awesome shirts, because I'll tell you this, if you wear, like, whenever this whole thing goes away and we can go in public again, but when you wear a Still Not Vegan shirt and it's got like the American flag on it, it's kind of funny because there's like certain people walk by you and they're like, yeah, man. And then there's like other people that walk by you and scowl at you. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of interesting. I mean, if you want a shirt with a reaction, there you go. So yeah, you can buy those. They're $25. Like, truth is that we don't really make any money on them, but they're really cool. And it's kind of a funny story behind it. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably been watching how all of this came from a joke. And now it's actually something that's really cool, and it's a t-shirt. So there you go. But yeah, if you want the newsletter, if you want the shirt, go to primalking.com. Outside of that, if you're not following me on Instagram, you should. Oh yeah, and by the way, if they want to follow you, where can they find you?
If they want to follow me, so I have a Instagram.
And she's on there a lot, so you'll get to know her good.
So it's my Instagram is Bootwearing Mama.
At Bootwearing Mama.
At Bootwearing Mama, MOMMA. Just all the craziness from my perspective of the ranch and raising kids and all the chaos that goes into our daily life.
It's all documented. It's all documented.
You love it.
All right. So that's it. Obviously, if you want to follow me on Instagram, at Primal King, at Primal.King. If you want to follow Jess, at Bootwearing Mama, MOMMA. I see all the craziness behind the scenes. But outside of that, guys, in all seriousness, I hope this has been a little bit of fun, hopefully been a little bit of entertainment, and maybe kind of an otherwise somber time. So I hope that this was fun for you all, and I'm glad that we're able to still talk with you all. And outside of that, you got anything else?
Nope. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Stay safe. For right now, stay indoors. Even if you don't think it's a big deal, stay indoors. Like, you know, don't be infecting people. Not good for anybody if you get it and someone else gets it, right? So whatever. Yeah, stay indoors. All right. We'll see you guys all later. We'll talk to you next time. Have an awesome week. We'll see you again soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.